Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across all of the platforms. Check us out 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you want to listen to us, Sirius Channel 160, Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, if you want to hit me up on some of my opinions, my bets, some of my takes, I'm on Twitter at Femi Abebefe. I'm on Instagram at Femi_Abebefe. Make sure you hit me up on social media. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Tuesday. We have the birthday boy, Tyler Morales. We're not going to say how old he is because he doesn't want that out there in the streets, but happy birthday to our guy, Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Addie Bates, Nick Costos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts. And I must pause before I say this sentence. Nick is going to join us with his thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts signing 44-year-old grandfather Philip Rivers to their practice squad after Daniel Jones tore his Achilles this past Sunday. Yes, that is a true story. I'll get into it coming up in the next segment, but Nick is going to talk about that to begin the 4 o'clock hour in 60 minutes. I mean, this is just the Colts, folks. When you're desperate, you're desperate, and that is the definition of desperate. But we have a couple of guests who will be joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern. Odyssey NFL insider, three-time Super Bowl champion, color commentator for the NFL on Fox, our buddy Mark Schlereth will check in with his weekly Tuesday spot. Of course, Schlereth does an awesome job on the Stinking Truth podcast. He'll help us recap what we saw in week 14 in the NFL and spin it forward to week 15. And then at 5:20 Eastern time, we go to the Association, NBA writer for the Action Network, host of the Buckets podcast. Our good buddy Matt Moore will join us once again here on You Better You Bet. We're talking all things NBA Cup quarterfinals. Tickets will be punched to Vegas tonight. We got the Eastern Conference tonight, the Western Conference tomorrow night, talking all things NBA Cup, the Final Four on Saturday here in Vegas. I don't think I'm able to go this year because my wife and I, we made some plans. But last year was a hell of a time. Went to go see SGA and the Oklahoma City Thunder against the Houston Rockets. That was great. Don't think I can make it this year. But we have the NBA Cup nonetheless, and we'll talk all things NBA Cup with Matt Moore at 5:20. But we must begin with Monday Night Football, with last night, I mean, just an absurd football game as the Los Angeles Chargers beat the Philadelphia Eagles 22-19 in overtime. A combined 8 turnovers between the two teams, 3 of which happened on one play. Yes. Did not make that up. That is a thing that happened last night. Chargers beat the Eagles. I was on the under in the game. Somehow that, like, when they got to overtime, I'm thinking to myself, well, Femi, made a good bet. We're probably just going to lose this one. But somehow, some way, the under held strong. Shout out to Jalen Hurts for throwing that interception. But the under cashes. Also, shout out to Saquon Barkley. He cashes over an anytime TD. That was fun to see last night. But just a ridiculous football game. And the biggest takeaway, and it's everyone's takeaway because it's the obvious one, but it's the truth. I mean, the Eagles can't get out of their own way. That's where we stand now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, this team majors in making football look incredibly difficult. They outgained the Chargers by nearly 100 yards. They had 1.5 yards per play more than the Los Angeles Chargers. Still lost the game. And they lost the game in pretty embarrassing fashion. Not that it was a blowout, but it was clearly a game where you just look at the two teams, how they fit together. Like, which one do you think is actually better? It's the Eagles. The Eagles are the more talented football team. The Eagles are the better football team. However, the Eagles just make their lives hard. So the Eagles lost the game last night to the Chargers. And the biggest culprit for the Eagles that's at fault from last night. And I didn't think this was going to be the case going into the game. But Jalen Hurts, woof. Like, that was the worst game of Jalen Hurts' NFL career. The stat line, I mean, 21 of 40, 240 yards, 4 interceptions with a QBR of 27.3. QBR, of course, on a scale of 0 to 100. 27.3. I did see a graphic last night when I was going to bed. Somebody posted, they said, if Jalen Hurts just spiked the ball in every single play, he would have had a higher QBR than what he did last night. Like, that's how bad it was. If he just spiked the football, just incomplete, incomplete, incomplete the entire game, he would have had a higher QBR than the performance he turned in last night as Eagles quarterback. And the interception at the end of the game was completely reckless, which is so surprising because one of the reasons why Jalen Hurts wins at every level, I mean, back in high school, college, the NFL as a Super Bowl champion, is because he protects the football. Like, turnover margin, turnover battle is what determines wins and losses more often than not in the NFL. Hurts is so good at protecting the ball, that's why the Eagles are always in position to win these big games. Last night, I couldn't recognize him. I mean, the interception in overtime, where it's 1st and 10 with 2.5 minutes to go in overtime, to where you're thinking, okay, how is Sirianni going to play this? Are they going to be super aggressive? If it's 4th and manageable, are they still going to go for it and try to go for the win? Or will they kick the field goal to tie the game and risk tying? Like, that was what we're all thinking watching that overtime, especially that drive. And then here's Jalen Hurts forcing the ball into double coverage when you got Dallas Goedert in the flats wide ass open. I don't know what was going on with him last night, but like, that was just so reckless for him to do that, and it cost his team the game. But the tomfoolery was going on way before that sequence at the end of the game in overtime, because Hurts literally made history last night by becoming the first player since 1978 to commit not one, but 2 turnovers on one play, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. 2 turnovers on one play. He gets the ball picked off by a defensive lineman, mind you, intercepted by Deshaun Hand, who then fumbles the football. Hurts picks it up. He fumbles the football back to the Chargers. I mean, this is football follies in 2025. Like, shout out to the NFL Network. They used to always run those football follies, and we all get to laugh. LOL, look at these crazy plays. Like, add that to the reel. What we saw last night with a 3-turnover play. And what happened on the Eagles' very next drive? What do you think happened? Hurts threw another interception. Like, this dude never looked comfortable at any point in the game. He seemed like he was late on stuff, missing some guys high. The Chargers defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter, which was one of my handicaps for the game with the under, I thought both defenses had clear advantages against the offenses. Jesse Minter had him in hell. Like, Hurts just did not look like he knew what he was seeing out there against this Chargers defense. But here's what's so tricky about Jalen Hurts when you evaluate last night's game and you take a step back and you look at his career in its totality. Because on the drive in overtime, prior to the reckless interception that ended the game, the Eagles were facing 3rd and 16. and Jalen Hurts drops back and fires a perfect dart to Devontae Smith for the first down. And at that point, we're all thinking it. Here comes Jalen Hurts coming up big in the clutch yet again. It's why he wins all the time. This is a guy whose two best games in his career have come in the Super Bowl. He is a big-time performer. However, last night, of course, ending with the brutal interception that could have been avoided, and now, because everyone's kind of put that off to the side, seemingly we've all forgotten what Hurts has done in his career, now the noise is getting loud. It's getting real loud. And this morning, I had to stop in my tracks. I'm scrolling Twitter, because that's like what you do nowadays in 2025. Instead of reading the morning newspaper, you scroll your Twitter feed to find out what you missed from the night before. I'm scrolling Twitter, and I'm on West Coast time, so I know the East Coast is up and active before I'm up. I see the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I come across a tweet where they are legitimately asking, this is not satire, this is not parody, this is a legitimate question. They are asking if the Eagles should bench Jalen Hurts and turn to preseason god Tanner McKee. And it's a legitimate tweet, a legitimate article that was posted as a column. Tanner McKee in place of Super Bowl MVP Jalen Hurts. We can all acknowledge that Hurts was a disaster last night. But to bench him? Are you people insane? Like, for real. Are you clinically insane? To bench the Super Bowl, and he won the Super Bowl 10 months ago. Not 10 years ago, 10 months ago. In this calendar year, Jalen Hurts outdueled Patrick Mahomes and won the Super Bowl. This is one of the best playoff performers that we have in the sport. And I'm not saying this as some big Jalen Hurts guy. You can literally see behind me a Dallas Cowboys helmet. Like, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm not some big Jalen Hurts fan. But at no point in watching last night's game or at no point in watching the Eagles this season have I ever thought to myself, you know what Philly should do? They should bench Jalen Hurts and put in Tanner McKee. That's nuts. Like, full stop. It's idiotic. The passing game's struggling, but it cannot be that. That's not what we're suggesting. Bench Hurts? Get real with that nonsense. Like, stop it. It was a bad game, the worst game of his career, but to even suggest that, it's disrespectful, to be quite honest. And it's not all on Hurts, is the big thing. And that's what I keep coming back to with this Eagles team. Because all the people saying, like, oh, like, the Eagles keep winning games and this and that. But, like, we've been watching all season. It's never looked right. And now it's really coming to a head. But to me, I mean, you know where I'm going with this one. The offensive coordinator stinks in Kevin Petullo. And of course, what happened last week was totally out of line and Bush League, and Eagles fans should not have egged that man's house. Like, that's, like, guys, this is sports. Like, relax here. Like, you cannot let this man really affect you to that degree. Like, he does not deserve that nonsense. Like, that was stupid. But the criticism is warranted. It is 100% warranted, because this man, you could convince me that Kevin Petullo is on the Jerry Jones payroll and he's a saboteur for the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, I don't know what he's doing as an offensive coordinator, what he's calling with the plays. There's no sequencing. Nothing seems to fit with Kevin Petullo. Like, what is he doing? And I know last night people were putting up some of the stats and the splits on the Eagles offense under center versus in the shotgun. And when the Eagles are under center, they're incredibly explosive, like 6-7 yards per play. They're moving the football. And when they're in the shotgun, it's a lot more predictable and the offense is anemic. And for some reason, Kevin Petullo is like, oh, let's keep going with the shotgun. Let's keep doing shotgun. Let's keep dropping back and passing. Like, this guy, he was ignoring Saquon Barkley for much of the night. Like, Saquon's going off. He's running the ball. The kids are calling him SoFi Saquon after his game against the Rams last year and what he did last night with the long touchdown run. Like, Saquon's doing his thing. But, oh, no, let's just not give him the ball. But friend of the show, Nick's friend of CBS Sports, Pete Prisco, he was tweeting about it last night. Like, oh, Saquon's averaging 5 yards per carry. Like, why don't the Eagles just give him the damn football? It made no sense, because I don't know what Kevin Petullo is doing. And this is the guy that is derailing the Philadelphia Eagles. And I said it earlier this season, unless they make a change, this team is not going back to the Super Bowl. They're not coming anywhere close. And they want to keep riding this thing out. Nick Sirianni says, we're not making a change offensively. And if that's the case, see you later, Philadelphia Eagles. And I can only imagine if you're Vic Fangio, I texted this to our show chat last night. Like, you got to be furious if you're Vic Fangio. Here you are, your defense, one of the best units in the league. You're holding up your end of the bargain. I mean, imagine being Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Jalen Phillips, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, all these guys that are studs on the Eagles defense, Vic Fangio included. And you just watch this offense continue to shoot itself in the foot. Like, those dudes are busting their ass. Doesn't matter. 3-game losing streak, and now you are in a legitimate race in the NFC East. And maybe the Eagles win the division. You look at the betting market. The betting market seems to think so. They're minus 1,100 to win the division. The Cowboys are plus 700. So that would lead you to believe the Eagles got this thing damn near on wrap. But, I mean, it just feels like a bad brew in Philadelphia. It really does. And it's not just, oh, A.J. Brown's being a nuisance. Which, oh, by the way, A.J. Brown, like, hurts to drops in the dime, bro. Like, you're going to be the guy that's asking for the ball. You got to catch it when they drop it right in the breadbasket. Like, come on. Yeah, you can't be dropping that pass in the end zone, which would have won the Philadelphia Eagles the game. But this Eagles team, it's not quite like 2023, but the result might end up the same way. This team is dying to lose the NFC East. And Dallas, they have their own issues. I'm a fan, believe me. I mean, the Eberflus experience, I mean, that's not a lot of fun. Dallas has their own issues. But I think the Cowboys are going to put some real pressure on the Philadelphia Eagles. Because you look at the Cowboys' schedule, home Vikings, home Chargers, at Commanders, at Giants. Why can't they win all those games? And for the Philadelphia Eagles, home Raiders, big favorite this Sunday, get it. That's all gravy. At the Commanders, you don't think they could lose to the Commanders? At the Bills, I'm already chalking that up as an L. And then home against the Commanders. Are we so sure the Eagles are justified at minus 1,100? I'm not. I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to win the NFC East because the Eagles are dying to absolutely crumble. We'll talk about the winning team, the Chargers, on the other side as we return here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Ebebefe hanging out with you guys on this Tuesday afternoon. Coming up in 40 minutes, we'll hear from Nick Costos with his thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts signing 44-year-old Philip Rivers to their practice squad, and with a chance of maybe activating him to the 53-man roster, and maybe a chance of Philip Rivers playing this Sunday. I'm going to get to that here in a little bit because I got some thoughts on Phillip Rivers and everything that's been going on in Indy. But like, I just can't believe that this is where the Indianapolis Colts are at. This team started, what, 7-1 this season? And now it's desperation mode, panic button, DEFCON 1, all of the things apply. And they're trying to save their season that seems to be spiraling out of control. But we'll get to that coming up in a little bit. Nick will talk about that in about 40 minutes, 20 minutes from now. Surprise, surprise. I'm going to break down the Heisman Trophy betting market because I do believe there is a bet to be made right now, now that the votes have been cast. But we'll talk about that in the next segment. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern time, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, how we doing? How was your Monday night football viewing experience last night?
It was like everybody else's, just the you love football so much, you're willing to sit through that kind of agony. That was just an awful football game. At least it was competitively awful. It almost was comical at times, but it was when you have two teams with a winning record, you certainly expect the football to be a little better caliber than what that was.
Yeah, I feel like that was like a good bad game. Like we get some bad games sometimes, like Broncos Raiders, like the Thursday night game where it's just like, come on, like this is just, there's nothing interesting about this. And you knew the Broncos were going to win the entire time. I guess the Raiders covered. Maybe that was an interesting aspect of it. But like last night was like, it was comical. Like it was like, I'm asking, I'm like, is this game on crack? Like, is this game on drugs? Like what's happening here? 8 turnovers, like just insane. But yeah, it was a bad
football. But really just game. 7 turnovers, just like 6 turnovers, Femi, because like 3 of them happened on one play.
I put 3 on one play. God bless football, man. Football follies is what we had last night between the Chargers and the Eagles. But let's waste no more time. Let's get to the top stories that we have on this Tuesday. What's the number one thing we need to know?
Well, Femi, you were talking about Monday Night Football there and talking about the Eagles aspect of things, but how about the victors? The LA Chargers moved to 9-4. Justin Herbert certainly didn't look great with his broken hand, but he was pulverized by the Eagles defensive line and kept standing tall in the pocket. Give him credit there. Chargers put themselves now in great shape for the playoffs, but their finish is tough. Femi, they are at the Chiefs, at the Cowboys, home for the Texans, and at the Broncos to finish the season.
Man, that is a brutal four-week stretch. We're going to learn a lot about the Chargers. If they get to the postseason, it'll be because they earned it. Like, there's no cupcake schedule here for the Bolts. But like last night, though, I mean, massive, massive win for the Los Angeles Chargers and a massive win for the AFC playoff picture and a massive result when you want to think about who can win the Super Bowl. Now, are the Chargers on that list? No. They're not on that list. But like that was monstrous to improve to 9-4, especially when you look at what's on deck this Sunday when they have a trip to Arrowhead Stadium to play the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I want to start with Justin Herbert because Justin Herbert last night, Bill mentioned it, the stats aren't great. This is not like one of the big Herbert games that if you're like a Herbert stan and you love Justin Herbert, this is not the game you're pointing to. But that was as tough of a performance as you will see in the NFL. This dude was getting the bleep kicked out of him. Like, just every drop back under duress. Sacked 7 times. The offensive line was non-existent for the Chargers, and we thought that going in. Like, I literally said at the end of the show during the power hour, I like the under because the Chargers can't block this Philly front. It all showed up last night, didn't it? Like, the Eagles were getting whatever they wanted against that offensive line, and Herbert was under duress the entire game while dealing with the broken left hand. Like, the broadcast kept showing, like, the glove he was wearing and where they'd kind of stitched it up a little bit. Like, clearly he was not himself. He wasn't comfortable. But still, in the midst of all that pressure, he's still throwing dimes. He's still throwing absolute seeds out there because he is that guy. So, awesome win for the Chargers. And Herbert, that dude, he is tough as nails. And I love how he put it at the end of the game last night when he spoke with Laura Rutledge, which was begrudgingly on his end. But like, he said, he's like, there's my guys are going through so much. Like, what does it say about me if I can't play through this injury, to paraphrase what he said? Like, that is exactly the kind of mentality that wins over a locker room. Not saying that he needed to win over the locker room, because clearly those guys will go to war for him. But like, he earned some big time bonus points in that locker room with his teammates to gut through that performance while getting destroyed behind a papier-mâché offensive line. Now, what does it mean going forward? Do the Chargers look like a team that can make a run in what is shaping up to be a pretty wide open AFC? The answer to that question is no. I don't know how you can watch that game and have any confidence
in the Chargers. Like, that game to me was more about Philadelphia, which is why I spent all of last segment talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, to me, I like Herbert. I like Harbaugh quite a bit. I like a couple of the defenders on the team. Amarion Hampton, he's back in the fold. He looked good last night. Outside of that, I don't really like the roster. I don't like the defense is pretty good. You know, solid. Jesse Minter's pretty good. But offensively, Hampton's a stud. The receivers, Ladd McConkey's pretty decent. Quentin Johnston, I don't think you can rely on that guy. Gadsden was on a milk carton last night. Like, the offensive line can't protect. How is this team supposed to go on this run over these next 4 weeks when they're playing really competent opponents? I know everyone wants to bury Kansas City. You know, Kansas City is still a 4-point favorite, guys. Like, they're favored to win the game. The favorite outcome is that the Chargers are going to lose. At Dallas, like, that'll be a coin flippy range kind of a game, but the Cowboys are pretty solid, at least. You know, they can compete, and it's in Dallas where they usually play pretty well. And then, like, the rest of the schedule is really difficult with the Texans coming to. You think the Eagles pass rush did a number on the Chargers? Wait until Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and the Texans get a hold of that offensive line. That's a prayers up for Herbert kind of game right there. So, like, even though it was a massive win for the Chargers, I still can't buy into this team going forward. Maybe they squeak into the postseason, they limp into there and they get there, but I don't think this team is going to be going many places in January. Like, this is not a team that can win multiple playoff games. They're just too banged up on the O-line, which is a shame, because had Slater and Alt stayed healthy, I think we'd be talking about the Chargers as a potential Super Bowl caliber team. But unfortunately, the football gods said not this year, and it bit him with all those injuries. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi. Well, here it is. The wild story of the NFL season. Oh. Tough to figure out how to even summarize this one, but 44-year-old grandfather Philip Rivers is coming out of retirement to play quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. He's signing to the practice squad. We don't know for certain if Rivers is going to play this weekend, but it certainly seems to be trending that direction. Maybe it's 50-50 right now that he will be in Seattle to take on Mike McDonald's defense. Welcome back to the NFL, Philip. Femi, Colts are 8-5 and desperately clinging to stay in the playoff picture, so they're turning to Rivers.
I mean, my goodness. I guess it's like that TLC song, Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls, Listen to the Rivers. And they're like, no, we didn't literally mean to listen to the rivers here, guys. Like, do not listen to the rivers. Don't put this man in the football game. How was this going to go well? Like, honestly, like we're saying 44-year-old grandfather. These are not jokes. This is for real. He is a 44-year-old grandfather. Like, and all the kids be laughing and calling old people unk. They can call him Gramps in the locker room. What up, Gramps? What up, Gramps? What's cooking? Like, and that's a literal thing here. Like, this dude, this is insane. It's insane to me that this is happening. And I understand everyone's out there making the case. Well, you know, I mean, Rivers and Shane Steichen go back to their days with the Chargers. And, oh, I saw this tweet. And I love J.J. Watt. Shout out to him. Future Hall of Famer. Does an awesome job with friend of the show, Ian Eagle. But J.J. Watt tweeted this about an hour ago. Fun fact learned in production meetings. Philip Rivers ran the same offense as the Colts for his son Gunner's high school team this season, because that's what Rivers has been doing. He's been coaching high school football. He ran the same offense for Gunner's high school team. He and Shane Steichen spoke weekly about it, discussing plays and even film. So familiarity with the scheme should be no problem whatsoever. I mean, I might be more interested if Gunner was playing quarterback than Philip Rivers, to be quite honest. Like, I don't care how well he knows the system. Of course he knows the system. These guys were together with the Chargers. That's not my question. And I saw the tweets last night. Oh, Rivers had a really good workout, throwing the ball really well. Of course he can throw the ball well. He's 44, not 84. Like, he can throw the ball well. But what happens when you put 11 guys on the other side that are ranging from age 22 to like 32, and they're coming after that ass? Like, what happens then? What happens when he has to face a pass rush? What happens when he has to adapt to the speed of the game? He has not played in 5 years. Like, do you know the last time Philip Rivers played? It was a playoff game. He was playing for the Indianapolis Colts. I remember it because I bet it. It was a playoff game against the Buffalo Bills during the COVID season. You know, I know what I was doing during that game. I was working my Fred Schmaltz job up in Seattle as a weekend sports anchor in the press box at the Seahawks Stadium, getting ready for the Seahawks playoff game, sweating out Colts +7.5 against the Buffalo Bills. That's what I was doing during that time. And this guy has gone 5 years since playing. Like, how is he supposed to play well? This is the most desperate thing I've ever seen an NFL team do. Like, it reeks of desperation. And that's been the Colts theme this entire season, because the head coach and the general manager came into this season on the hot seat, baby. That seat was scorching. For Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard. Chris Ballard just nukes the franchise future, says, I'll give up 2 first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. What is that? A reckless move that reeks of desperation. Now, let's call up Philip Rivers, who's been coaching football, and have him be the quarterback. I mean, Riley Leonard, he better have a torn ACL if this is what the whole thing is, because Riley Leonard's a better option than Philip Rivers. Like, come on here. But we must remember, this is the same Indianapolis Colts organization that called Jeff Saturday off of the set of Get Up to be their interim head coach a few years ago. That's what the Colts are. Like, this is what it is. I can't believe this is a thing. And I can't believe people are entertaining the fact that this might actually go well. I'm more so saying prayers up for Philip Rivers. Please, like, you're a family man. You got kids. You got grandkids. Bro, just get back home in one piece, because I don't think this is going to go well if he has to start on Sunday against this Seattle Seahawks defense. And last thing on this one, because I'm already seeing it now, and I'm seeing some of the sports books tweet this stuff, which, to be honest, is kind of predatory, but I'm seeing it. Philip Rivers, comeback player of the year. Oh, like Flacco, he came back off the couch. Guys, they changed the rules. Knock it off. It's not happening. Rivers is not going to, he might not even play all 5 of these games or 4 of these games. Like, oh, Rivers, 18-1 to win comeback player. Oh, 11-1 to win comeback player of the year. Is he going to steal it from Dak or Christian McCaffrey? No, because Dak and McCaffrey are awesome comeback player of the year candidates. And once again, they changed the rules because all of you got mad. I'm texting with our good buddy of the show, Ken Barkley, Lockie Lockerson, last night. I jokingly sent this to, oh, here comes comeback player of the year, Philip Rivers. And we had a good laugh about it. Didn't know that it was actually going to become a thing and people were going to start betting it. Like, wake up, everyone. It's not going to happen. Wake up, Colts, because this is not going to save your season. Unfortunately, it's over. Sorry, you guys are done. Bill, hit me with the next one.
And keep in mind, Femi, when Philip Rivers' name was called, it was Paul Tagliabue who shook his hand.
R.I.P. Let's put one out for Paul Tagliabue. I mean, come on.
All right. Femi, your guy Jerry Jones, he spoke to our Odyssey friends in Dallas, and they asked him about Pickens' performance against the Lions. And here's what Jerry had to say. He didn't seem too concerned.
One of the things that you got to appreciate about George Pickens is his intensity for the competition. Now, he is a big-time competitor. Those are not the kinds of things that you normally hear addressed when you're thinking of things that George could do better on. Boy, when it comes to competing, when it comes to loving the game, and I emphasize that point right there, loving the game, then I give him A+.
There you go, Femi. He's not too concerned. And thanks to that Eagles loss, Cowboys definitely still in the mix for the NFC East. And they are 100% going to need George Pickens if they're going to pull off this comeback.
Yeah, it might be the NFC least based on how the Cowboys and the Eagles have been playing. I'm glad Jerry's not worried. Okay, thanks, Jerry, because I'm worried. He said, oh, George Pickens is a big-time competitor. Did it look like he was competing when he was lollygagging on some of them routes that we saw last Thursday night against the Lions? That didn't look like a big-time competitor. I mean, Jerry, he has to defend his guy because he knows that this thing is really volatile, and you get Pickens on the wrong side, and all of a sudden, this whole thing could blow up, which they can't afford to happen because right now, their other receiver, CeeDee Lamb, is currently in the concussion protocol. So that's a big deal here. But, like, let's be for real. Like, the Cowboys need George Pickens to get his act right. Like, he's got to act up, man. Like, this cannot happen, what we saw last Thursday. And season on the line Sunday night. You take a look at what's going on right now, the betting market, I tend to agree. That point spread was a little bit too big. All those 6.5s and 6 got bet. We're now down to 5.5. I think this is going to be a more competitive game than people think. Bill, hit me with the last one before we head to break.
That means Bengals edge Trey Hendrickson looks like his season is over. He is having core muscle surgery that will likely end his season. Hendrickson has not played since October. Season would end with 7 games played and 4 sacks.
I mean, did he ever actually play for the Bengals this year? I know you said he played in seven games, but I didn't see him. I mean, that's another guy that there's an APB out for Trey Hendrickson. Glad he got his money and got paid. But my thing with Cincinnati, I'm not giving up, man. I'm not giving up. Why can't they beat the Ravens on Sunday? And why can't the Dolphins beat the Steelers on Monday? I think we're going to be right back to where we were after Thanksgiving when we have this conversation this time next week. All right, let's have the Heisman conversation to wrap up the 3 o'clock hour on the other side.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Oh, let's get back to it here on a Tuesday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Ebefe hanging out with you guys this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Colts signing Philip Rivers to their practice squad. Of course, the same Philip Rivers, who is a 44-year-old grandfather, as the Colts are in a bit of disarray at the quarterback position. Daniel Jones, torn Achilles. See you next year, maybe. Riley Leonard, he's got some knee soreness. So what are we going to do? Anthony Richardson's on IR and doesn't seem like he's coming off IR anytime soon. So I guess the answer is to call 44-year-old Philip Rivers, who we have not seen play in the NFL since the COVID season in 2020. I mean, like we were literally social distancing when this man was playing. Like, I can't believe it. This is where we're at. But hey, Philip Rivers, to save the day, for the Indianapolis Colts. Hashtag for the shoe. Nick will talk about that to begin the next hour here on You Better You Bet. But let's spend this segment talking about the Heisman Trophy. Now, when I woke up this morning, I did not think that this is how I'd be spending the 3:40 segment here on a Tuesday talking Heisman Trophy, because we all saw what happened over the weekend. Indiana beats Ohio State. Fernando Mendoza has the throw that clinches the game. He's cutting the promo after the game. The Hoosiers are flipping champs. He's on the podium. All his teammates are chanting Heisman Doza. I mean, you listen to the broadcast, all those things coming together, you would have thought, hey, this race is over. This thing's done. Mendoza's going to win the Heisman. Nothing to see here. He'll get crowned on Saturday night. Well, I got a couple polls sent to me earlier this morning. And my response when I got those polls was, whoa. This is actually rather stunning to me. So before we get to the polls, I do want to outline, like, just once again, like, the Heisman Trophy finalists came out last night. It's Mendoza, it's Jeremiah Love, Julian Sayin, Diego Pavia. Those guys all get a trip to New York for Love and Sayin. It's just like, hey, this will be cool, whatever. Those guys can't win. But we have a legitimate two-horse race going on here between Mendoza and Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia. So right now the betting market has it as follows. Mendoza minus 2,000 over at BetMGM, and Pavia is 10-1. But that's not what the Athletic poll is saying. So the Athletic Heisman Straw Poll, which once again polls college football writers, college football editors that they have on staff, people who are pretty much like-minded with much of the voting block that votes on the Heisman Trophy. And the voting block is rather large. It's like the largest one that we have for any sports award. It's like 1,000 voters for the Heisman Trophy. It's actually insane that they sent out that many ballots and they collect that many votes. But hey, that's how they've been doing things, and that's how they're going to continue to do things with the Heisman Trophy. But it's 1,000 voters. And the Athletic Heisman Straw Poll has been usually pretty in lockstep with what those voters say. And this morning, out of the 25 people that the Athletic polls in their straw poll, and they use the same voting system that the Heisman Trophy does, with 3 points for first place, 2 points for second place, and 1 point for third place, Mendoza won the poll. He got 14 first place votes, 10 second place votes, and 2 third place votes. That was 64 points when you add it all up. Coming in second was Vandy quarterback Diego Pavia, who had 11 first-place votes, 14 second-place votes, and no third-place votes. But when you add all that up, 61 points. So literally 3 points is what is separating Mendoza and Pavia in the Athletic Heisman Straw Poll. That was 25 voters. That, to me, seems insane. And when you look back at previous Athletic Heisman Straw Polls at this particular week, like once we're done with all the games, regular season, and conference championship, the person who leads the straw poll is usually who wins the award. So last year was Travis Hunter. He had 18 first place votes in comparison to Gentee's 9. That was 72 points compared to 63. And we all learned that later that weekend on that Saturday night when Hunter won the Heisman, that the vote was actually really close, much closer than we all thought. Like, it was like one of the closest votes that we've had in recent memory, Hunter over Gentee. A couple years ago, Jaden Daniels, 19 first-place votes. Michael Penix Jr., 13 first-place votes, 82 points compared to 69 points. Jaden Daniels won, no problem. 3 years ago, Caleb Williams, 28 first-place votes. Max Duggan, 7 first-place votes, 98 to 67. Caleb Williams wins the Heisman Trophy. Bryce Young, 26 first-place votes. Will Anderson, 8 first-place votes, 98 points to 50 points. Bryce Young wins the Heisman. So as you can see, in previous years, the gap was much wider than 3 points. Like, to me, if I'm holding a lot of Mendoza, I think there's one person out there, I don't know who this person is, they have like a 100-to-1 ticket on Mendoza, bet $1,000 to win like $100,000 or whatever it is. Like, shout out to them. That's a hell of a ticket. If I'm holding that ticket, I would be sweaty right now and looking for ways to just jam all this Pavia to go ahead and at least cover my bases and hedge. Because what the Athletic Heisman Straw Poll is telling us is that we got ourselves a razor-thin race. This thing is tight between these two guys. And it's not just the Athletic. On3, and we have folks on from On3 all the time, Brett McMurphy, America's College Football Insider. We love Brett McMurphy, friend of the show. He does great work for On3. Andy Staples, we've had him on earlier this season, does awesome work for On3, the Andy and Ari podcast, one of my favorites for listening to college football. On3 did their Heisman Straw Poll, and on Monday, Diego Pavia won that poll. This is on the heels of, once again, Fernando Mendoza leading Indiana to an undefeated season, beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, the throw that ends the game, cutting the promo, the broadcast is telling you that Mendoza's the Heisman. His teammates are chanting Heisman Doza. And after all of that, and with Diego Pavia out of sight, out of mind, well, I guess he wasn't out of sight. He was in Vegas at UFC 323 hanging out here. But Mendoza had his moment. Pavia's in Vegas watching UFC fighters. And after all of that, it's still razor tight. Like, I don't know what I was expecting this morning, but I was expecting for Mendoza to have a pretty healthy lead and be like, oh, Mendoza's going to win the Heisman. Everyone's going to be all good with that. No. I honestly think we are going to have the closest Heisman Trophy race in recent history. Like, I don't know, going all the way back to like the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. Like, I don't know what happened in those years. But I can't remember a Heisman Trophy race that's this close to where going into Saturday night, I can legitimately say, I don't know who's going to win the award. And that's never the case with the Heisman. Even last year when it was super close, we knew Travis Hunter was going to win. I don't know who's going to win. It's Mendoza? Is it Pavia? I don't know. But the betting market, to go back to that and why we're having this conversation, Mendoza's minus 2,000 and Pavia right now is 10-1. How is Pavia not a bet? Now, I don't mean this to say that, like, oh, jam Pavia and put all... No, like, you don't have to go crazy because, like, deep down, if you ask me how this thing should actually be priced, like, I think Mendoza's likely to win, but it's like 60-40. But the way the betting market has this, it's like it's 95-5. And that's not reality. And 60-40, I'm just kind of going off of like a whim, just like a hunch. Because literally on three said Pavia won it. And The Athletic, one vote could have swung it to where Pavia won that poll as well. That's all it would have taken. So this thing is so close to me to where I think there's a chance that we get a stunner. And not even a stunner, because that's too strong of a word, because clearly everyone's telling us that it's close. We get a surprise, I guess is a better way to phrase it. And Diego Pavia actually wins the Heisman Trophy. So for me, if you have nothing invested in this thing, easy, like small bet on Pavia. Instead of having that extra beer or extra cocktail, put it on Pavia 10-1. You know, like 50 bucks, 100 bucks, whatever you want to do, put it on Diego Pavia at 10-1. I think it's worth a bet. I'm adding some Pavia to my portfolio, if you will, which I hate that word, but I use it anyway. Like, I'm adding a little bit of Pavia because I just think from a probability standpoint, this thing is more of a coin flip and the betting market hasn't caught up to what the actual public sentiment is with the Heisman Trophy. Like, lay out the case for Mendoza. QB of the number one ranked team in the country. Best story. Media loves him. But on the flip side, he doesn't really jump off the screen. You know, like this is not RG3. It's not Caleb Williams. This isn't Jaden Daniels, any dynamic players that you see with the Heisman Trophy. So people are a little bit apprehensive to crown him as the guy. What about Diego Pavia? Statistically, he's better than Mendoza in terms of the volume stats. He's the face of the Vanderbilt program. Indiana's face is Kurt Cignetti. Vanderbilt, ain't nobody talking about no damn Clark Lee. We're talking about Diego Pavia. Like, people think he's a better quarterback than Mendoza too. But what's his flaw? Well, he tends to be polarizing on social media. Some people don't like him. He didn't play over the weekend, and also he didn't make the college football playoff. But to me, it's just a coin flip that we got here. So it is a bet on Diego Pavia. I never in a million years when I went to bed Saturday night did I think that on Tuesday I would be betting Diego Pavia to win the Heisman Trophy. But sometimes you got to listen to the voters. You got to listen to what the people are saying. And what they're saying is that this is a close race and one of those candidates is 10-1 and one of them is minus 2,000. You should know what to do with those odds. All right, to wrap up here, a couple of notes in college football that I wanted to get to. Notre Dame. Notre Dame's athletic director, Pete, is it Bavakwa? Is that how you say his name? My apology if I butchered his name. I have a tricky name as well, so I do sincerely apologize if I butchered that one. But he was talking about the quote-unquote damage done with the ACC. Like, here are some quotes. Pete Thamel, ESPN, tweeted out some of the quotes from his press conference from earlier this afternoon. Quote, it has created damage. I'm not going to shy away from that. Another quote. People a lot more important than me at the university feel the same way. Oh, it's like the LeBron James movie. Oh my God, people at Notre Dame are upset. Oh my gosh. Another quote. I think people at the ACC know that it has done damage. Another quote. I don't understand why you'd go on a social media campaign to attack an important partner. And then the last quote. What we were really surprised by and disappointed by was how the ACC conference really went on a social media campaign that, in my opinion, was attacking our football program. Bro, you're not a part of the conference, man. Like, yeah, in other sports you are, but in football you're not. Like, Miami's in the ACC. You're independent. What do you think they were going to do, buddy? Like, come on. Enough of Notre Dame. Like, nobody's... I don't care that they're not playing. I know some people are judging them for all that stuff. Who cares? It's a meaningless bowl game. Bowls are dead anyway. Like, but just go away in silence. Like, nobody needs to continue to hear you guys bitch and moan about not being in the CFP. How about you schedule a good opponent and actually beat them? And then you'd be in the 12-team playoff. Knock it off with this nonsense. Oh, people at the university are upset. Just shut up. All right, on the other side, Nick Kostos joins us with his thoughts on the Colts signing Phillip Rivers to their practice squad. It's You Better, You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.